Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Mike Sugar is going to talk about how to live to be 110. I want to mention this, though, because I read about this earlier this week. There's a new product out there coming out, Mike, for bacon lovers. It's made out of beef. It's been 2 years in the making. They're calling it Schmaken. Schmaken. It's made from smoked and cured glazed beef slices, and it's being called a healthier alternative to pork bacon. Schmaken has, they say, half the fat, half the calories of pork bacon, and 60% less sodium. It's described as smoky, sweet, and outrageously delicious. Schmaken should start appearing in the grocery stores over the summer. Schmaken.
I don't want to say anything, but people will probably eat twice as much Schmaken as they do bacon and have the same saturated fat, salt, and more nitrates, etc. So it doesn't sound healthy to me. But in any case, you know, what they did is they looked at the what caused people, what was associated with people living till 100 or 110. And they did this in the blue zones, Okinawa, etc. And the constancy is they do a little, they have good genetics, meaning their parents lived a long time, and then they have good physical activity, which they continue to do, are active in life, don't give up on life, that is, they stay active. They do physical activity as part of, you know, gathering water or whatever, it's usually part of their life. And then each one has something different. So this woman who said she's 120, drinking port wine, eating 2 pounds of chocolate per week, treating her skin with olive oil, taking up fencing at 85, riding her bike, smoking until she was 117.
Oh, my.
God, I can't believe it.
Oh, my.
Anyway, so each of them has something weird, if you will. And it's a long life, not just one of persistence. So it has to be that you're vital, and the key, if you will, we look at it, is going to be that people are going to change how they live, in fact. And my guess is that if we live to, there's, you know, I had, in 2006, took grief for saying that there's a potential of us being living to 160 if we make it to what we call the year 2030. Well, the study out from the aging group was now 160 was considered a young, if you will, estimate. And there was the estimate that many more of us, it wouldn't be just the extended lifespan at 160, but if we make it to 2030, there's the shot that most of us will live to be 160. So, Joe, as I said to you once before, don't give up your day job. Don't retire because you're going to need three more occupations to have enough money to survive in the same state. And the good part is you're going to be able to play golf just like you are now, maybe even better than you do now, until 145 or 150.
Hope I can
so
still walk.
A real shot
I
of that.
I still can walk and not have to drive in a cart. At 160.
That's correct.
That would be
and in fact, that's because the replacement parts, the way that we're learning to stimulate your own cells to regenerate normal organs. So it's starting with obviously knees and hips and cartilage, etc. The changes are occurring so fast in medicine now that we think that the people who do aging research, this is the we, not the we of the Cleveland Clinic, we of the people who do aging research think that it may well be possible for all of us to live quite long, quite healthily.
Hey, what do you think of this? I read this week, too. I read an article about dogs that can sniff out prostate cancer. Highly trained dogs are able to detect prostate cancer in urine with 98% accuracy. They say using dogs to recognize this cancer might help reduce the overall number of unnecessary biopsies and maybe better pinpoint people at high risk. These dogs previously worked as explosive detection dogs. They took some urine samples, 200 urine samples from the prostate cancer group they tested, and about 230 samples from the control group, and the dogs were taught to recognize prostate cancer-specific organic compounds. The first dog got 100% accuracy in detecting samples from prostate cancer patients and 98% accuracy in eliminating samples that did not come from the prostate cancer patient. Dog 2 was pretty close with a 97% accuracy. And overall, the dogs had 16 false positives and 4 false negatives. How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty darn good. What it is the cancer cells produce different organic compounds, different compounds than normal cells, or different ratios, which gives the, and the organic compounds give smells that dogs are very sensitive at. So, in fact, this is actually, a lot of this work started with lung cancer at the Cleveland Clinic, so I know very well of it and have spoken to the group that has done this. And they now have a mass spec, that is, rather than just using dogs, you can just take a sample of breath, run it through the mass spec, and be able to separate out the compounds in the ratio and seem to be getting very close to as good as the dogs do. Obviously, if you've only got a couple dogs running around the country, for everybody who wants to be screened, isn't practical. So if you've got a machine that is very inexpensive, a machine isn't inexpensive, but it can handle so many samples in such a short time that you could do, for example, if you wanted to screen the 2 million people in Cleveland, you could probably do that in with one machine working full-time the way this setup is, and be able to screen for a number of cancers depending on what part of the urine or air you're screening for. And it seems to be a very accurate screening test, but we're still early on. In other words, it may be in 3 years you'll be able to breathe into your iPhone and be able to get the detection of the different compounds.
Yeah, they say we humans have 5 million olfactory cells in our noses. Dogs have about 200 million. And, you know, for years, law enforcement and military have used dogs to help locate bombs, drugs, and missing people. But they also say, as you indicate, dog detection is something that still needs to be combined with other diagnostic tools, you know, the PSA, the biopsy, and the MRI. So it could be another just added dimension of detecting prostate cancer. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Dr. Mike, have you ever eaten an acorn?
Joe, I have, but before we go into that, let me go and just say the other thing is the pancreatic cancer test. Pancreatic cancer is going up in numbers and in virility, that mm-hmm. is, in how many people it's killing. It's going to be the second leading killer if it continues at this rate in 10 years of all the cancers, overtaking breast and prostate and colon cancer, and only lung cancer will be greater. Well, the interesting thing is they're using dogs, and they're using different smell and different bacteria on the tongue to detect pancreatic cancer. So this isn't just smells. It is all four senses. And eating an acorn, I tried it once. It was pretty bitter. I have learned since that acorn meat is something that's relished, but you've got to, in fact, boil the acorn several times to get rid of the bitterness in order to enjoy it.
Yeah, okay. Coming up after the break, more of the top medical news stories of the week. If you got something for Dr. Mike to talk about or address or issue, you have a question or comment anywhere along the way, it's udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Hepatitis C, there's a hepatitis C drug available. Is it too expensive if you need it? Also, Dr. Mike will talk about odd omegas. And what do you think? Can you change your taste buds to live longer? What do you think about that? Think about that, and Dr. Mike will get back to you with the answer, and he'll tell you how, if you can. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamins C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.